first episode of the year of the Girl Have You Read podcast. I realized that we're cutting it kind of close for a first month of the year podcast, but we're here, which is what matters, and we're ready to go.
We are. It's still on time. We a little late in the month, but we on time.
Yeah, we're here. And the first thing that we're going to talk about today is our favorite topic, maybe us. we're going to talk about our first releases of 2019. And there's a method to the madness of that, because we're going to be leading, because what we lead into next It's related. We're not just talking about ourselves for the fun of it. So, Alex.
Oh, we're not? I thought that's what we were doing. Oh, man. That's what I signed up for. No, I'm just joking. So, I actually had two releases that kind of qualify for my first release, because they both came out in January, even though one was about on the same time as this podcast in terms of when it came out. So my first true release was A Tale of Two Cities, a New Year novella, which the whole backstory, like I talked about it on Twitter, just how quickly I had to put that together and how it ended up being like people's favorite one of the whole series, which is crazy to me because I'm like, well, it was like three very stressful days of writing and editing and finding a cover image literally New Year's Eve.
That always happens. The one that gives us the most trouble ends up being people's
favorite. I love that one. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm so glad you do, because I was about to die about it. But then I also released Displacement, a Building 402 novella, which had its own little stresses, because one, I had written like a third of the project way back in like October. And so picking it up and revisiting this world and reintroducing myself to these characters and letting them reintroduce themselves to me, like, that was a whole process, but we figured it out, and now Nick and Monty is just out in the world doing their thing, friends to lovers.
And I feel like I've talked about Wonder so much.
But now it's out.
It's out. After all my talking and all my whining, and I've gotten so much love behind it, so much good stuff behind it, which made me feel completely silly for all the whining and all the not complaining. I wasn't complaining, but it was stressful. It was stressful, you know, writing it and pulling it together, and you know, wondering if people were going to connect with it, or not even necessarily connect with it, but wondering, you know, if people were going to enjoy it. And I mean, that, I don't know. I can talk about Wonder a lot. So I'm going to leave that there. But the reason that we started this with our first releases of 2019 is because for both of us, we've had the pleasure of being reviewed by some of our Black book bloggers, our Black book reviewers that I mentioned on our year end episode. We kind of gave some of those women a shout out, and so it was really exciting, you know, getting those reviews, because, you know, for you to like, for first of all, to run a review blog or to run a book blog period, you know, you have to have a certain passion about it. And so to read something that, you know, that I feel like it can't be, you know, the easiest thing or the most common thing to read something that inspires you to give, you know, just a really great review, mm-hmm. or a really rave review. And so I was really excited that I got really, really beautiful reviews from the Island Reader, from Jasmine at Literally Black. And from Lena at Words Reviews, and like, I don't know.
they're just so good. Really, they're so good.
Right. It was just really, really exciting, like, to get that mention on Twitter and then to go and see what it was about and read the review and read, you know, how, mm-hmm. you know, just all of it was really awesome.
Yeah. And I oh God, I need to find her name. But there's a new one. There's a new reviewer. I want to say her name is like this girl reads this. She just started, and one of her first reviews was Displacement. Now, Thanks. But she, I need to find her name. I'll find her name and I'll mention it later. But she's also one to look out for, because we got to support our Black bloggers, our Black reviewers, just like they support us. Oh, This Black Girl Reads. That's what she's called. This Girl. Yes.
What we can do is we can link everybody in the show notes. I'll make sure to hit to include those links to all those reviews and all those reviewers, because like there's, I mean, with the exception of This Black Girl Reads, because you said that she was new.
Yes. You said that
she was new. So she probably won't have a lot, I'm assuming, because if she reviewed Displacement, that literally just came out. So she won't have a lot yet. But I know the other women, they have kind of archives, that you can something to read. And so, yeah, we'll make sure to link those. But that also leads me to, I remember back when I was first, I won't say when I was first a reader, but back when I first kind of came into, Black romance, especially Black indie romance, it was nothing to me to leave a review. Like I was, I would always, and I was very easy to please. Like I was a really cheap date. when it came to reviewing, most stuff that I read, I would easily give, 4 or 5 stars. But I'm also a reader who, if I don't like it, I'm going to stop reading it. I don't like, there's really no reason for me to give a low review, because I probably didn't even finish reading it if it was something that I would give a low review to. So there was nothing like that. But now I don't even review anymore. Not really. I will occasionally review, but I've made sure that my name is, I made sure that it does not go to my Goodreads. I made sure that my name is not, I show up as Amazon customer. when I review, and it's not because I'm saying anything bad or anything like that. It's just that now, 5 years into this thing, it's like, I don't know. I feel like you almost have to kind of be careful when you're reviewing, because it's like you'll easily be accused of, of being biased, which I probably am. So, I mean, that probably wouldn't
there's
really
that.
Be.
There's that. But
I don't know if that's an accusation so much as just stating the truth. But, you're kind of seen as endorsing, as endorsing people. Or you're accused of being biased. Oh, you only like this because that's your friend. Or you only didn't like this book because she don't like your friend. Or you know what I mean? There's always, it's kind of like, it. I don't know, it's almost a little political. I mean, not on the stage of Black American politics or anything like that. But there is a little bit of...
It is. I just feel like if you were to look at reviews and you see an author's name that you didn't know or you read before, then you're going to weight it a little differently than you might a normal review, just because you either trust or don't trust that author, or you have a relationship with that author or whatever. Just seeing that name triggers a different response to what you just thought. You were trying to just do something nice and say, I really enjoyed this.
Right, and it's kind of a thing of, on the other side of that, you don't want other authors to see it and think, why didn't she read my book? What I mean?
It can get messy.
I prefer to just avoid it altogether. but that is something that I want to get. It's something that I want to get out of. I shouldn't have to feel like that. If I decide to start reviewing books again, and of course it'll be honest reviews, even if it's a rave review, it's because I honestly loved it. If I don't like a book, I'm just not going to say anything about it. So if I decide to rave about a book, it's because I honestly enjoyed it, there shouldn't be any, there shouldn't be any negativity with that. And if somebody wants to come in over a book review, well, we can have that conversation. if that's what we want to do, we can have that conversation. But it's just there's a lot of things when it comes to this whole book industry and all that I want to try to get out of it. But that's kind of one of the things.
And see, it's interesting because you say you were, when you were a reader, you're a reviewer. And I never reviewed books. I don't know why. That was just never something. I just devour books and then I just go on to the next one, and it was nothing. But now that I know how important reviews are from the author's perspective, I do try to at least like go leave a rating on Goodreads or something. Like that's the least I can do.
Yeah, even that is better than, you know, just not doing anything. And, you know, that's definitely something, you know, at least, you know, that you're leaving the rating, because like you said, now that we're authors, we see what it is. And it's not even necessarily reviews, leaving the reviews so that other readers see it. Sometimes it really is about giving that boost to the author, especially when you're kind of new in this thing, and maybe you're not getting, like, maybe your audience is still kind of small, you're still working on building, you know, you're still working on building your community or whatever, maybe you're not getting a lot of reviews. And like, I remember, not to say that reviews aren't important to me now, but I remember back when I first started, seeing a review from a name that I didn't recognize, and I'm not even saying like some friends or family, but you know, you have readers who, you know, you have kind of consistent readers. And those reviews are, you know, those reviews feel good too. But when you see a name from somebody that you don't even know, you don't recognize that name, it's like, oh man, you know,
oh, somebody new. Oh, I love when people say, oh, this is my first read by Alexandra, but it won't be my last. Like, dang, girl. Like I'm 20 some books in. Hey, this is your first time, and you got a lot to go back to.
Yeah, you got a whole lot to go back to. But there's that. But then we, no, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I just said it's exciting to see that when you do have a first time reader. I mean, I love seeing all the readers, but when it's a first time reader, it's like, yay, another crazy who enjoys my crazy.
Absolutely. And then we have Nicole Falls, a friend of the show, and all of it. she actually wrote a blog post. I want to say, I don't think it was yesterday. Was it yesterday?
Oh, I think it was yesterday.
It was either yesterday or Monday. It was this week. It was super recently. And we'll link to her blog post as well. But she talked about how, about the importance of reviews, you know, and about how a 3-star isn't the end of the world. It's not, you know, it's not a quote unquote negative review. About thinking about what your goal is when you're leaving a review, especially if you're leaving a negative review, thinking about what are you really trying to accomplish here? And then thinking about people who, you know, people reviewing your work when they don't like your work. It's like, why are you here?
I don't understand it. Like, I don't know if people know that we can see, like, if somebody has reviewed us multiple times. But it's like, if you said you would never read me again, don't read me again. Like, I shouldn't see your name come up again.
Say you're never going to read me again, and then you give me a chance, and it's like, oh, I like this one.
But if
your reviews of me have been low reviews, like, it's okay for you to not pick up my work.
Leave me alone.
Please. Like, don't waste your money. Don't waste your KU page reads. It's okay to not read an author if you don't like their work. Like, it is absolutely okay. Even if you previously liked their work, it's okay to stop reading someone who it seems only stresses you out, only
right.
Like, I don't understand.
It doesn't make any sense. It does not make any sense. And it just blows my mind, like, because I have a specific person in mind. If you happen to be listening to the Cry If You Read podcast, leave my books alone. Because every time it just feels like why are you hate reading? Like, hey, I feel like reading is just supposed to be so fun and enjoyable, and like, even if it does send you through like all the different emotions and stuff, like, that's supposed to be a positive experience. So if you know you're not going to get a positive experience, like, why are you doing this to yourself
and then telling me about it? Like, you can
right
your friends about it. But no, I have a person like that too who actually purports herself to be a fan of mine, and I'm like, I nah.
Where's your fandom?
Word means what you think it means. And I mean, do, like, don't get me wrong, you are perfectly, like, you're perfectly welcome to leave your honest review. If you didn't like a book, that's totally fine. Like, I have 40 something books, nobody, right.
You're not gonna like all of them, yeah, and that's fine,
perfectly reasonable or perfectly understandable if every single one of them is not your cup of tea. But if I go, like, if I click on your name on Amazon and your only reviews of me are reviews where you're talking about you didn't like the book, a fan of mine is not what you are. And that's okay. You don't, like, you absolutely do not have to be. Like you were saying, you know, reading should be an enjoyable experience. And if an author no longer gives you an enjoyable experience, like something that they've changed about the way that they write, or something they've changed about, you know, their subject matter or their characters or whatever, it's okay to divest. Like it's perfectly fine. Like you're not,
my feelings will not be hurt because I won't know.
Right, unless you feel the need to tell me, which, why?
It's weird. It's so weird.
But that kind of goes back to what Cole was saying about, you know, kind of figuring out what your goal is when you're leaving a review that's quote unquote negative. You know, like it's one thing to, you know, leave a quick, you know, I really enjoyed the book, whatever. But if you're finding yourself, quote unquote, going in on a book, like what is your purpose? Like, are you one of those people who just likes to like drag people? Like, mm-hmm. is pettiness or whatever? Like, is that your brand? Are you trying to warn other readers? Are you trying to get the author's attention and tell them like what's your purpose? And it's, I mean. Weird. And I mean, I guess all the purposes, you know, are valid, because if you purchased the book, you spent your money on the book, you're well within your rights to leave, you know, to leave whatever kind of review you want to read. But I know for me personally, like there's nothing at this point, after five years writing, after writing 40 something books, I can't imagine something that a stranger could say to me in a review that would make me change anything about the way I do what I do.
Right. Because right.
At this point, like, don't get me wrong, this is not me saying that I think that I'm a perfect writer. I absolutely am not. Grammarly and Pro Writing Aid proved out of that to me. When I was writing Wonder, there were so many occurrences of the word even, so many just, so many that, so many, like there was so much to fix. So, you know, this is not me suggesting that I'm a perfect writer by any means. I'm just at a point in my writing where I only write what I absolutely want to write. I only publish what I absolutely love. And so your opinion is just that. Is. Your opinion. But I wrote what I wanted to write. And I published what I wanted to write. There's nothing that I would change about it. Like, once it's published, there's nothing that I would change about it. Unless you see a typo, then absolutely, you know, I fix a typo, but when it comes to the subject matter of my books, when it comes to, you know, the characters that I wrote, when it comes to the dialogue that they exchanged, you know, there's nothing mm-hmm. that I would change about my book. And so your review is like, absolutely, you know, I want to know that it resonated with you, that you felt where I was coming from with it, that it, you know, that it touched you, that you got me, you know, that you felt what I was trying to convey. I absolutely want to know that. But when it comes down to it, it's really just your opinion. There's nothing about that that's going to make me do anything differently unless I decide something differently with my writing. And I feel like, I guess that's a perk of being, a perk of being indie. You know, I write exactly what I want to write, and there's nothing that, like, Jesus would have to come and talk to me for me
to Amazon customer dash Jesus.
Dude, I will crack absolutely hell up. Oh, if somebody does that, please, like, hang in it. Please get somebody to email me. That would really make my day. I just, I don't know. I feel like reviews should be, I am at a point where I feel like reviews should be for the other readers. Don't talk to me. You know, if you're, if you call yourself going in, don't talk to me. Like, I love reviews where it's TCJ, you know, I loved it. You know, I'm glad that you branched out, or, you know, whatever. I'm, the reviews for Wonder is what came to my off top. If that's the type of review you want to leave, absolutely talk to me. I love it. But if you call yourself going in because you hated the book, there's like, you don't, why are you talking to me? Like, tell your fellow readers, you know, why you hate it. And I cannot be clear enough. If you want to leave a negative review on one of my books, absolutely. That is absolutely, you're right. I'm not, I mean, let me not encourage it, but I'm just saying, you know, if there's
It is what it
no,
is.
I don't hold anything against you for that, but don't phrase it like you're talking to me, because
Because this
just
isn't
no.
gonna get anywhere. Like, this isn't gonna help anybody through anything. Like, it's
Like,
just not.
yeah, nah.
Okay, so I have a question for you. Do you think it's fair to leave a review? Because I've seen this happen. I don't know, I can't say this happened with me, but I've seen this happen with other people where they'll say, oh, I only finished 20% of the book and I couldn't read the rest of it. Do you think it's.
Absolutely
Because
not,
I
honestly. You
see
didn't even
that.
read
And it's, yeah, you didn't. So it's like, what are you actually evaluating? But I guess at the same time, it's like you bought it, so you're entitled to have an opinion, but it's like a, it's just not like you're not really reviewing it if you didn't really consume it.
right. And say that as someone who will put a book down at 20% and never fucking open it again and go tell, like, and go get in GroupMe or get in my inbox. Girl, let me tell you about this bullshit. So there's nothing to, I'm not saying that you can't have a negative opinion on a book, you know, that you didn't finish reading. I'm saying that you should be reviewing, you know, a finished project. And I mean, I guess the exception that I would make, I mean, not that anybody who does this needs my exception, but I'm just saying, like, if it's something like, you know, just egregious, you know, like, oh my God, you know, there were 5 million editing errors in the first 5 pages, you know what I mean? Like, if something like that, you know, is different, or if it, you know, if the book is purporting to be something that it's not, which I don't even know if you've only read 20% of the book, you know, do you even
Can't
really
even know
know that?
that, yeah.
But it's like, in generally speaking, like, you can't review, like, I couldn't review a couch before I had it in my house. What I mean, I couldn't review a restaurant that I hadn't gone to yet. You know, like, it's just, I feel like if you didn't read the book, you should not be leaving a review
A review.
in most cases. Okay, so another thing that I have seen, not even just from reviews, just, you know, in observing readers talking about books, and this is honestly a quote unquote critique, that I get often enough, you know, that I feel like it's a thing for me. But the question was asked in my Facebook group yesterday about, you know, books feeling about, you know, people saying that, oh, well, this book felt incomplete, or this book felt rushed, or this was too short. It's actually a critique that I got on it's actually a critique that I got on Wonder, which I'm just
Which is
like,
crazy.
how? Like, how? Like, again, it's not that I think that I'm perfect by any means, but that is not, if there's words that you could use to negatively describe Wonder that I'd be like, okay, that's fair. But incomplete is not, you know, like, nah, you, like, I can't rock with you on that one. I can't give you that one. Does it leave it open for, does that ending leave it open for, you know, for more to come? Absolutely. And that's on purpose. But you can't say that something feels incomplete if all the central conflict, you know, for those characters in that book, if those central conflicts have been closed, you know, where I haven't opened up any crazy major thing, you know. Well, the main character got shot in the stomach and we ain't heard, you know, gunshot. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like something like that happened, you know, like, I don't know. But this is a, it's a critique or whatever, that I'm just gonna be honest, it annoys the shit out of me, because I don't write in complete words.
Right.
Like, we're just going to call a thing a thing. I do not write in complete books. I do not rush through my book. I write them at the pace that I decided to write them. I like there's
right.
I publish my own books. I'm the boss. When I like
say that,
I don't know. And that too short thing, like that just
so
that really grinds my gears.
So your girl. Your girl over here has been writing, has written a lot of novellas recently. And very clearly, at the end of the blurb, it says, these are short. These are shorter in length. There's a complete story, but they're shorter in length. So if you read that, you go into it, and you say it's too short, that's not my fault. Like, I told you. Very specifically, you can see the page numbers right in your face as you're getting ready to purchase the book. So if you feel that way, like, I don't know what you want me to do. I don't.
My thing is, like, I see the critique, you know, of something being too short, or this shouldn't be a book, or you should have just put them all together in one. And it's like, who made you the boss of my art form?
That's always a thing.
First of all, stories are absolutely a thing. Short stories, novellas, novelettes, whatever. I mean, I don't know, not even necessarily that they've always been called by those words, but mm-hmm. they have absolutely always been a thing. They are, some might argue that they are the foundation of literature. Like, there's literally magazines devoted to short stories. There's anthologies devoted to short stories. And so to act like a short story is not a valid art form is honestly just stupid. it doesn't make sense. Now, short stories are not your thing. If you prefer a longer work, then that's something else. You know what I mean? That's totally valid.
It's so funny to me that you use the exact words, because I'm looking at a blurb for the Building for a Two Novella series, and mm-hmm. it says, if you prefer your stories longer, I'd recommend checking out another project. Like, that's me giving you the ouch you need to say no thank you.
Right.
If you continue beyond that, you just got to go for the journey.
And I don't know. And it's like, again, I cannot stress enough that I'm not saying that, you know, that you can't prefer a longer work. There are honestly people who do, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. I personally prefer a shorter work because of the way that my attention span is. I prefer a shorter work. I prefer something that I can get through in an hour, you know, while I'm on the treadmill or while I'm mm-hmm. on the bike, or, you know, something that I can read, you know, at night, and then I'm done. I got my warm and fuzzies, and, you know, I can mentally
move
on to the next thing. That's my preference. Everybody has their preferences, but where I get hung up is, you know, when I see, like, complaints about, you know, when I see complaints, or when I see stuff, you know, that suggests that you can't, that a short story isn't complete, or a short story, or not, I keep saying short story, which is not really what I mean, because they're not short stories. A short story is 1,000 words or less. That's right. A short mm-hmm. You know, we're talking about novellas and novelettes, which, you know, where from 3 to 15,000 words is what we're calling a novelette. Mm-hmm. Anything between 15 and like 50,
30,
a novella.
Oh, yeah, it goes up to 50. Yeah.
Yeah. And then mm-hmm. anything over that is a novel.
Right.
Anything over that is a novel. There are, you know, kind of standard conventions for what, you know, sci-fi typically has this many words. You know, women's fiction typically has this many words. A YA novel or YA fantasy or whatever typically has this many words. But anything over 50,000 words is a novel. And to me, any of those things can tell a complete story, whether it's mm-hmm. 1,000 words, 3,000 words, 15,000 words, or 150,000 words. Any of those things can tell a complete story. And any of those things can leave you hanging. Any right. of those things can leave you wanting more. Any of those things can, you know, length is not a determination of whether or not a story is complete or not. Mm-hmm. And that's a thing that really, like, it really chaps my heart when it's implied that, you know, that the length is what means that it, you know, that it's a good story, because length is just
that does not length. At all.
You know, it's
been 300, 400 page books that
right
never that got there, just never got
that,
there.
Right, that should have been cut down. I think that's where I've. That's probably kind of where. Because early on, like really early on, like I would go for those. And now I'm just like, I don't have the time. Like,
truly, truly. Like, I see that page number and I for real be like, I'll download it for maybe for when I end up stuck in the airport for hours or something. I don't know. But right now, I can read this before bed. Okay, let's go.
Exactly. Like, that's my perfect thing. But I just, I don't.
But again, that's a preference. Some people want to, yeah, to devour absolutely. A book over days. Like, I get that.
And my thing is, like, for my books, I often get, this was too short. You know, even on a book where it's 50, 60, 70,000 words, I get, this was too short. And I'm just like, but I told you, first of all, I told the story that the characters gave me. Second of all, my books typically only take place over the span of sometimes just a few days, sometimes just like not even months. I left right. exactly where they should be. They've only known each other 2 months, or maybe they knew each other before that, but they've only been romantically involved for 3 weeks. This is where they belong.
Right. Are they supposed to have a baby today? No, that doesn't even work. Like,
right. This can't happen. And I'm not one who's always going to go back and I'm not one who's always going to go back and add an epilogue. Like, there are plenty of my books do have an epilogue, you know, where there was something that happened, you know, kind of way outside of the course of the book, because like I said, most of my books only take place over a few months, you know, and so there may be something that happened a year or two, you know, in the future. That, you know, that felt like it belonged, that felt like part of the story that should be told. And so I went back and I didn't go back. It was always going to be an epilogue. But I, you know, I added that epilogue to, you know, to the final package. But often I won't. I leave the characters where they're supposed to be. And it's like, you get comments like, well, what happened after that? Are they going to be okay? You know, are they going to stay together? Well, I mean, in my head, they did. But
right.
You and Vince and all this other stuff, you need to be writing too. Like,
very true. Like, but I can't say though, one of my favorite compliments of sorts is, oh, I devoured this and I just want more. Like, if you just absolutely. Tell me you want more of them, like, I love to hear that, because that means that these people, like, I really did my job. If you feel so attached that you want to hear more of these characters.
Absolutely.
And so I appreciate that.
I always want to hear that. But what I don't want is for it to be, is for you wanting me more to be treated as a failure on my part, as if I've done something wrong, as if I didn't complete the book because you want more of the characters. Because my thing is, this story is a snapshot, you know, this story yes. is a snapshot out of their lives. I'm not like, I don't know, but I've said this before, but like relationships, like if a healthy relationship should not be story worthy. You know what I mean?
Like, because if there's a lot of mundane, like, normal things occurring, would not be fun to read about.
Right. If everything is cool with y'all, we should not need another 10 to 15,000 words of you guys planning to go to, you're going to somebody's wedding. You're going to the grocery store together. The kids had a bathroom. You know?
That's what all my characters are doing after I type the end. They're just going to the grocery store together.
Just saying, like, you know, if this relationship is healthy, you know, and everything is good, you know, we shouldn't be Like, there's nothing story worthy about that. And I'm not even suggesting that, you know, that there's never arguments or, you know, or tense moments or anything like that. But even stuff like that, like, that's not story worthy. Like, it's boring as fuck. I've been married for years and we've done like a lot. We've done a whole lot of fun stuff together. We've done a lot of, like, there have been story worthy moments in our relationship, but for the most part, even when we're beefing, that shit is boring as fuck. Like, we're beefing over the dishwasher, not like, come on, like, who wants to read about that? You know what I mean? And it's like, if I've gotten this couple to this healthy place, you know what I mean? They're together. They're going on, you know, into the sunset together. I'm ready to move on to the next.
It's like, do y'all really want to hear that? Or do y'all want to write a whole new set of characters for you to feel the same way about? I think the second one.
I don't know. And I will give characters whatever space they need. You know, I will give them whatever word count they need. Like, I've talked about this a lot with Wonder, how it was supposed to be. Wonder was supposed to be a novella. Wonder was supposed to be like a 45,000 word. It was some cutesy little thing. It's all that it was ever supposed to be. And it ended up being over 80,000 words because I gave them the space. You know, I've complained about it the whole time.
They won't stop talking.
Where did all of it come from? But I gave them the space to do, and I don't know, like, I just, it's frustrating for me knowing what I put into everything that I write, even when it's, you know, even when it's short. Like, there has been some stuff that I just did for fun. I'm not talking about the stuff that I just did for fun, but when I, like, this stuff that, like, even when it's short, I put my everything, like, all my energy, my heart and my soul, you know, I won't say all the energy, but a good 50% of the energy that I should be giving my husband, all of that, it goes into these books. Like, I'm
truly, like, truly, I'm writing is not easy.
Right. It's not. So much into this, you know, and I present this project, you know, that I'm proud of. I present this project that, you know, that I feel like I've done them justice or whatever, and then somebody says, well, this was too rushed, or it wasn't complete, or I hated the ending. It's just kind of like, well, damn, kick me in the chest, why don't you? You know what I mean? And it's like, again, that's a me problem, though. That's a me problem. You should absolutely leave your honest review, you know, but just think about what you're actually saying. Like, is the problem really that this was rushed, or that it was over before you wanted it to be over?
Right. You were that engaged. Like, I had you that into a whole different world.
Right.
That when it came to an end, you felt like, oh my God, like,
you just wanted more. You know, like,
right.
Think about that before you turn it into a failing of the authors. Think of, like, take some time to really interrogate what your feelings actually are, you know. But I don't know. What's been making you happy? Have you been reading?
So in between January, well, I think, was it in between January? I think it was in between January projects, or maybe it was right at the end of the year. Either way, I did get some happy in my life via Nicole Falls, who was already mentioned in this podcast, because of course she was mentioned multiple times in our podcast because we love her so much. I finally got to read Sugar Butter Flower Love, which was so, oh my God. I just love that book, and I am such a fan of, like, Kids Baking Championship and Chopped and all those shows.
Yeah.
But I can tell that she really did her research, because I was reading, like, the techniques and stuff, and I was like, yes, like, this is incredibly accurate. Look, like, I know these machines because I watched these shows enough, but it was perfectly done. So kudos to her. I also read The Hookup Before Christmas by Phyllis Bohr, which oh my God, it was like the perfect, like, it was a holiday short story, and I loved that it was a short story. Like, I only wanted to see that, and it gave me everything I wanted in that situation. So a shout out to her also.
What else? Or is that it?
Hold on, I gotta scroll. Oh, I also read New Year Kiss, a short story by D. Rose, which was super duper cute. And then she just put out this super bomb cover. So I'm like, okay, D. Rose, like, yes. Come on through. Come on through with the next release.
Absolutely.
Yes. So I'm always jealous. Ready.
You've had three things. I have not read. I've not read anything that wasn't written by my friends. Which is always the case for me. I have started three different things. One of them was just not good. And so I stopped. The other, I think I just wasn't in the right headspace for it. And so I'm going to revisit it because I think that it has I think it has potential. I just wasn't in the right headspace for it. After writing Wonder, mm-hmm. My head was just, it's
I can't even imagine. It was a lot going on.
And so my head, my mental space just wasn't ready for something normal. Mm-hmm. And so I just couldn't get my head around it. And then the third thing, which is actually my most likely what I'm going to go back to. I'm not naming names until I finish the books and until I decide if I really like them or not. But the third thing was actually, it's actually really interesting, but it's a bit more of an urban vibe than what I typically read. And so that compared with the whole normalcy thing, it's kind of throwing me a little bit, but it's a really good book. Like it's what I've read so far, it's a really good book. And so hopefully I'll be going back to that to finish that. But I'm supposed to read two books. My goal for January was two books. And so I don't know. I have today and I have tomorrow. And they're both short.
Which means you're going to find some novellas because they're so perfect
They're both short. Both of those books are already, they're both short. And so I might be able to work those out. So we will see. We'll see.
Oh, I forgot. You know what else I read? I read Becoming by Michelle Obama. That's probably the longest book I've read in like the last 3 years.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, that book it's a thick book.
It's long. It is very long, but it's a great read. It's an easy read. Like, you're engaged, so it's not like annoying or anything. And so if you haven't read it, go check out the Only First Lady book.
That's awesome.
I was very proud of myself for that, actually, because it was so long.
It's a really big book.
And then it was weird because it was like, I remember this stuff happening. And so it was like, but it was still had like some suspense to it. Cause it was like, okay, how did she really feel during these times? Like,
right.
We're watching it as just the public, but
yeah.
So yeah, it was a good read for those who like the longer story.
So what's next for you before we wrap up? What's next for you?
Oh, it's so funny that you were talking about married couples being boring, because one of my next releases is going to be a married couple.
But they're not going to be boring. Are they going to be boring?
They're just going to go to the grocery store over and over and go out to eat after they go to the grocery store. No, it's going to be fun. That's next on my radar to finish off the Building 402 series.
And when should we look forward to that?
Girl, I got to put that information out. I did say, so it's so funny because I did say spring at the end of Displaced. I said spring, which I'm going to hold myself to that.
I was going to say, it's still winter now, so you have plenty of time.
Yeah, that's why I did it, because I was like, oh, spring is going to go for a long time, so I'm good. But in Replacement, I said Displacement was going to be out in fall 2018, and obviously it just came out like last week. So I probably shouldn't have done that. But the holidays, like, it was either write one book or write four other little books. So I made a decision.
A good decision, because those holiday novellas were the bomb.
They were so fun. It was exactly what I needed. Now what's next from you? Mm-hmm. You hear me. What is next from CCJ?
I believe that we'll be going back to Mahogany Heights. I have ideas in mind for for two things that I want to do within the span of the next couple of months. That's all I really want to say.
Because I don't. I, well, okay, two things. One, I'm still mad about, I think, who said it? I think it was Mercedes, who said, oh, building 402 should be in Mahogany Heights. And I'm like, bruh. Like, why?
So mad.
Why did that happen? And two, I just wanted to say that I'm very proud of both of us, because what we said we were going to do on our last podcast, our only podcast of the year last year, was actually what we did.
What did we say we were going to do?
You say you were going to finish Wonder, and I said I was going to wrap up Tale of Two Cities and do Building 402 and go on to Building 402.
Oh, I'm proud too. I didn't even.
we are doing what we said. We put it on the record and we made it happen. Now, we can't say that for every episode, because I'm sure I've talked about projects that never actually came out. Yeah, but but this time we were on.
Hey, shout out to
to end on a happy note.
All right. Well, as she said, we're going to end on that happy note, and we'll catch you guys later.